And welcome back to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike, and today, again, we have another NTSB person, and today we have Teli Cornejo from the NTSB. And what is your title at the NTSB?
I am an air safety investigator.
Air safety investigator. And you're here to talk about the different types of investigations at the NTSB. Now, most of us have never had a problem where we actually need to have the NTSB come in.
Right.
And we're glad for that.
Yes, we are too.
But I think it's important that people know, if something were to happen, what the different processes are that would go through. So what are the different types of investigations that they might run into with some sort of accident or incident?
Well, a lot of times, distinguishing between an accident and an incident is something really that everybody should let the NTSB make a decision on. Mostly we're looking for a notification. So if you have a flight control malfunction, you have a hard landing on a runway, those types of things where you're kind of unsure, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of damage to your aircraft, just give us a call. We're really nice. We love to talk to you guys. We love interacting with everybody. And it's, like I said, it's just a quick phone call to make a determination as to what is going to happen if it does become an accident. So if there's an accident, how we classify that is whether there is structural damage to the aircraft. If you look at the regulations, they actually give a dollar amount of $25,000.
Well, that seems kind of low, especially with, you know, how long has that been, $25,000?
For a really long time.
A really long time. Sounds like they need to update that.
Probably since the inception. Yeah, and so that's why we go for structural damage, because of that aspect of it. You could do $25,000 worth of damage and not have any structural damage to the aircraft. It would not be considered an accident for general aviation purposes. I think the number, the dollar amount really came from commercial airlines, so that we could figure out how much damage there was to their aircraft. It was easier to do that monetarily than structurally, because there's a lot of components on a commercial airliner.
Okay.
So for general aviation, we are looking at firewall damage, spar damage, keel beams, those types of things. Anything that lends itself to the structure of the aircraft, that's what we would consider substantial damage and therefore an accident. If it's a hard landing, we would do what we call a 30-day report. It's a C form. The pilot admits, I just wasn't paying attention, I didn't have enough crosswind correction, and it's something that's more oriented towards pilot error, unfortunately. So they ran out of fuel, something like that. The next report that we have a step up from that is called a limited report. It's similar to a C form, but we're doing more follow-up work. The pilot said that he had a flight control malfunction or an engine failure. And so we will go to greater lengths to looking at the aircraft and determining what the issue was. So that's a limited investigation. Then we have field investigations, and that's the unfortunate part where there are fatalities involved. It's production aircraft. We'll go out, do an investigation, try and determine what happened. We also have different classifications for field accidents. The smaller general aviation ones, if it's one or two people, it'll be a regional investigator that goes out. We have also what we call field major. That's where we send out some people from headquarters, and the investigator in charge will be a regional investigator. There's usually more people involved with that, or a higher visibility type accident.
Okay, so lots of different aspects, and a lot of them sound, you know, if it's just a minor thing, you know, fairly a simple little procedure to get in touch with you, a little report, and might not even actually see somebody in person.
Correct.
Now, I think I was talking to somebody earlier this week, it's kind of all blurring together, but they said pictures. Sometimes they can just send in pictures, and you guys can do your report off of that.
Yes, that's with the age of digital cameras and internet, we've been able, and email, we can get the pilot to send us pictures of specific areas that we're looking at, and then we can make a determination from there. Plus, it gives us a really good idea of what it is that's being described to us. Sometimes there's a miscommunication as to what's actually been damaged.
Sure. And, you know, it also probably, you know, saves the taxpayers money, because you don't have people traveling as much.
Well, yes, that is true. We've gone to super regions now. So we have a Western regional office, a Central regional office, and an Eastern regional office. So there's
Alaska. Yeah, they have a lot of separate issues. It makes a lot of sense to have, you know, one office up there because it's a big state in itself.
It's a big state, and it takes us a long time to get up there. So the response time wouldn't be that great. We also have an office in Hawaii, believe it or not, and that's based on the same reason as the Alaska reason is, you know, 5 hours is a long time to make people wait to have us respond.
Yeah.
So
that makes a lot of sense. So usually if I report an accident, there's all these different kinds of investigations, but what, you know, how long is the turnaround on most of these minor accidents?
Well, with the C form, it's 30 days and probably about 45 days once it's been reviewed back at headquarters, they'll go ahead and release the report. So you're looking at anywhere between 30 to 45 days for the C form where there's no mechanical issues to the aircraft. Now, with the limiteds and the field investigations, you're looking at somewhere around 270 days for turnaround. We're attempting to do that to give the public greater access to those reports. The field majors can take up to a year, and obviously the complexity of any of those can make it take longer. We've also released our public dockets now are available on the internet. So people can see what actually goes in, what material we're getting and looking at when we're doing the investigation.
Yeah, and that's another thing that we were talking about earlier this week with, you know, home-built aircraft. If you're building your own aircraft, you know, sometimes people make mistakes with building their own aircraft, and you could actually go in and look at all the accidents that have resulted from maintenance issues and learn from their mistakes.
Yes.
So you don't repeat them.
Right. That's the hope. That's why we put our reports out there. We're hoping to educate everybody, and we're hoping to be educated as well. So there are a lot of websites with the experimentals as well as light sport and production aircraft that homeowners can go on to, and they can see what's going on with their aircraft and read more about it. And so we try and provide some educational material in our reports as well.
Yeah, because I would have never have thought if I was building my own aircraft, which I hope to do someday when I can afford
it.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
You know, I would have never have thought to use the NTSB as a resource to build an airplane, but it makes so much sense, you know, because it, you know, an airplane's a complicated piece of equipment, and, you know, obviously, it's easy to make mistakes, but if you can know what common mistakes are, you know, especially for each particular aircraft, you can then avoid them.
Yes. Or maybe not avoid. Yeah, avoid the mistakes. Not the aircraft, but avoid
right.
the mistakes.
Yes. I'm certainly not trying to pick out any particular aircraft here. Right, because, I mean, there's so many home builds, and I don't think there's a single one out there that's, you know, any safer less safe than, you know, any other.
It's all personal preference. There's some gorgeous aircraft out there. I've had a ball just walking around and taking a look at everybody's aircraft out here. So,
now, do you fly yourself?
I do. I am a pilot. It's been a while since I've flown, but I'm looking forward to getting back into it, especially after this. This has really given me some inspiration to get out there and go flying again.
What ratings do you have?
I'm a commercial multi-engine instrument pilot.
Wow. That's more than just being a little pilot.
I'm just a pilot. I'm happy being a pilot.
So, wow, that's great. Well, hopefully, you know, this is your first year out here?
This is my first year out here. I wasn't sure what to expect from it, and it's just been amazing.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. We're glad you were able to join us this year.
Thank you.
Hopefully, we'll see you in the future.
Yes, definitely.
This is EAA Radio. We've been talking to Teli Cornejo from the NTSB, and we'll be back after this short break.